Hello and welcome to the 25th Planned Destiny podcast. If you're on YouTube right now, then you should see me on Venus, and then you should see that my co-hosts are right over there. We have Briar, we have Pope Bear, and then we have Tefty. Hey, y'all got up and waved at just the right time. So, this is kind of a special episode. We're wanting to try something a little bit different. We're going to go just kind of around Venus and talk about some of the stuff that we've experienced in Destiny, because the most recent Destiny news thing was that it was Bungie Day this week, and we have all, you know, experienced our various things in Destiny, so we're just going to go around, have a little bit of fun. I'm going to go loot this crate here, and you guys can go ahead and start it off some. We are off to a wonderful start here on this podcast.
I want this crate.
Oh, no.
I know. I want the crate, too.
Yes, I got it. Dead.
I guess I'll start the stories off anyway. So, I've told the story of how I actually got to play Destiny, but, I mean, honestly, like, my favorite memory just from starting out Destiny was, like, running into Vault of Glass the first time. That was just such a cool experience, being able to try to just figure out all the mechanics over here. And those sync plates were a pain when we had only level 25 members in the party.
Yeah, they really were. I remember you forget vividly how hard that first opening section was, and it's hard to go back to those days.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, those Praetorians were beasts.
They were.
Well,
they were just monsters.
And I think I think one of the things that it was also really difficult about it was the unknown, you know, all the elements, all the mechanics that were behind it. What was the spire building? When was it not building, and everything else associated to that?
Yeah. And I think that's why we think of Vault of Glass so fondly compared to like Crotazin, where Crotazin came out and we had quite a bit of, experience running raids, running other content, so we kind of knew how to respond to that stuff. Vault of Glass came out, you know, first week of the game, or like I think it was first week, or it might have been the first reset, and so that's what we got to kind of do. We had to figure out everything, because if I remember right, Vault of Glass wasn't designed with the same group. That's why we don't really see anything kind of carry over.
It was a specific raid team, right?
Yeah,
like that made it.
Yeah,
separate from the story. Yeah, my first vivid memory was using a blue auto rifle and just trying not to die.
In Vault of Glass.
While holding the plate. Well, no, while holding the plate, just to get into Vault of Glass, which was amazing. And then actually getting into the Templar area, or not even the Templar, but just the confluxes, and spending probably at least 2 hours with my team just on confluxes. At least.
Yeah, like definitely.
It might have even been more, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think my first clear through, it took 20 hours. What am I thinking? It took 3 hours, and we had to cycle through about five or six other people, because they all expected it to be easy. They're like, oh, yeah, we're just gonna go in. It'll be fun. You'll get some loot.
Yeah.
How hard could it be? I played Halo.
Well, yeah, we tried to do a world first. I don't know. I was with a group that we tried to get worlds first, and I remember when we were playing, just people in chat, because we were doing it live, and people in chat were like, "Well, why don't you go look at, you know, other streams? Why don't you?" And we're like, "No, we're doing this blind. That's the fun of this. The fun of it is that it's hard, and you got to figure out the puzzle and work together as a team."
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you guys finish it your first attempt?
No.
Nope. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. We finished it in 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we spent about... It took us 6 hours to get to the first half of it, and then about 2 hours to figure out that damn maze.
I just killed myself.
Good job there, Teffy. So Bungie Day was also recently... Pope, do you know exactly what Bungie Day is? Because as much as I can say I've played Halo and everything, I wasn't part of the Destiny, or I wasn't part of the Bungie community, really. I just kind of existed and played games.
I guess we talked a little bit about it in the podcast before, but I guess it really started in back in 07. So 7-7-07.
Yeah.
And Bungie has this fascination with the number 7. And
No, really?
it's their way of giving back to the community. It has to do with, it's the way the studio lays focus on the community and does something for them. So every year they do some sort of gift to the community. And it's been different things. It's usually some sort, if there's new content coming out, it's they release information that is really valuable to the community about that new content. So back in like the Halo 3 days, it was, you know, different armor that was coming out. And I remember one time it was really funny. They, in Bungie, in Halo 3, there was a Staketacular medal. Mm-hmm. Where you, if you beat a team, with, I think 20 more kills in Slayer, Team Slayer, 20 more kills than the other team, then you got a medal called Staketacular. And Bungie, on Bungie Day, put out a team of their developers playing against, you know, the community. And if you beat them with a Staketacular medal, Bungie would send you a steak in the mail.
That's awesome. Steak in the mail.
So they usually they did fun stuff like that. I remember one year they allowed you on the 7th to get recon armor, and yeah, that was a really big deal. And there's just been a lot of different stuff over the years, and this year they did a really cool video for they did it like a video doc, like a montage of all the different community members and different points within the year that were memorable. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that that was an extremely caring gift. I mean, the time that they put into editing that and putting
the time that was put into that was extraordinary. Just looking at the amount of videos, look at the credits, because everyone that was in the credits weren't like, they didn't just credit people that, you know, contributed in the community. If you were in the credits to the video, it was because you were in the video.
And like, I think that's important because like the people that were in the video were all very important community members, and it's really cool to see them be a part of it. But the lattice work of people that are in the community, from streamers to YouTubers to clan leaders to the average player, they're all part of the success of this community. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to kind of make a comprehensive list like that, because you would be listing, you know, hundreds of thousands of people.
That list would go on for days. I mean, you'd have to list every single person that's played Destiny for the most part.
But I got to tell you, though, I was super proud that the video opened up with Wally.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
That was really cool. Really cool.
It was really, really fun to see Wally get the top billing on that in the first, you know, 30 seconds of the video. And
I mean, like the first 30 seconds were just a voiceover by Wally that they took from one of his videos.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little choked up watching that video too, because there's so many of those memories. Mm-hmm. I remember either watching that video or had a very similar experience to what I saw in the video. Just watching like all the people who like cosplayers, they showed a lot of cosplayers.
I really like that.
Built the guns. You know, they showed it wasn't just YouTube videos. It was a wide selection. You know, obviously YouTube videos are going to be easier to put in a video, but they had tons of people doing tons of different stuff in there. And it was really fun to watch some of the stuff, you know, we had featured on our community spotlight. So I remembered it from back then too. And there were a couple of moments I was getting really excited watching that video.
Yeah,
it was basically a 30-minute long community spotlight video.
Yeah.
I think that was a valuable gift to the community. I really liked it. I really liked it.
It's cool.
It definitely showed like the journey that Destiny has gone on too. You can see people, you know, start. I mean, they didn't really pull any punches either. They didn't make it seem like it's been one amazing, you know, journey filled with, you know, butterflies and kittens. They acknowledge that, dang, this game has sucked at some points. And
well, that's part of you know what, though, Tefty? Like, I think that that's part of what... I think that's part of the history of this game.
Absolutely.
I think that there's a lot of, like, the negative people that got... that felt like this game... that this game had wronged them in some way. And so they left. They left the community, right? And the people that have stayed through it all and had faith and trust in Bungie to continue to adjust the game and make it valuable to them.
Mm-hmm.
They've stayed, and they're going to have that memory of those, that moment when, you know, everything seemed bad for Bungie, right? And I really am going to have a great, it's going to be a great experience for us in the future when this game develops and gets better, because we know that the studio is capable of doing it. And we're going to look back on these and it's going to be a shared history. So I think it was extremely important for them to put it in there.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
What do you guys think about the announcement for the Destiny Year One Art Contest? And I think this is going to be really super cool. So
I'm looking forward to this too.
But... yeah. Your mission is to answer the following question from your point of view. What has been your favorite thing about the first year of Destiny? And you need to submit it by July 23rd. And go to the Bungie.net website if that's something that you're really truly interested in. And you can submit it either a photo or YouTube, and it gives you the links there to do it. But you've got to understand that this is a call to action from Bungie. They want to highlight your art. And if you're artistic, because I know I'm not, but I love Destiny art. Every time somebody sends me something on Twitter, I post it, I make it, I forward it, I give them credit for it. I love artistic people. I just sit in awe of somebody that can create something beautiful or that gets me to think. I really appreciate that. So I'm really excited to see what our community is going to come up with that has been their favorite thing. And I'm sure hope that somebody does something about the loot cave.
Yeah, right?
I'm just saying.
What could you do? Let's brainstorm some ideas for the loot cave.
I don't know.
One thing would be just like a giant stash of engrams, like in a backpack or a bag, like Santa Claus, you know?
How about a life-size diorama?
A life-size diorama of it.
An actual, like, cosplay people at a cave with engrams on the ground, yeah.
There are some caves near me. Tennessee's got some good cave systems. I could go make some engrams. Good job, Tefty.
I'm trying to get up to the top, man.
So I'm trying to think of what begs the question, Briar. What would you if you were artistic, you know, if you were artsy fartsy kind of guy, and you're like, hey, I'm gonna, I mean, maybe you are, I don't know that, but what would be your favorite thing about the first year? I hate to throw you on the spot there, but
there's so many things. Yeah. I actually made a video of kind of my five favorite things, and two of them come to mind right off the bat. Is the first time I made it to the lighthouse in Trials of Cyrus with you and Leif was a big one.
That was your first time?
That was my first time.
Oh, freaking A, man. I'm glad I was part of that.
And it was cool to do it with you and a Bungie developer, you know, and like that, it was a really special moment. So if I could incorporate that into art somehow, I don't know how you would do that. Maybe a sweater vest, you know, nice little
sweater vest.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Hey, you know what?
My Briar, first time,
and it couldn't. Yeah, man. If I had a list of how many people could say that, no, I'm just the Briar. So, and it couldn't have been with a nicer guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Leif is he's so humble. And you know, a lot of that stuff that you see in the competitive, like PvP stuff, the playlists and things like that, that's their team that's working on that. And Trials of Osiris and all those things, they mean so much to them. Anytime you play with a Bungie guy, you start to realize like how much they actually play the game and are love it, right?
That's awesome. Yep. Yeah.
Another one would be just meeting my clan for the first time. I met my clan off of an LFG site, you know, just randomly got matched up into Crota hard mode raid. They were having trouble. I had already finished it. And these guys now have my cell phone number. We talk on the phone. You know, they're good friends. And
that's cool,
you
know, yeah.
A relationship like that, that doesn't come around every day. And the fact that it was forged inside of Destiny...
Mm-hmm.
I've read some really cool posts of people that like they've already met their significant other from playing Destiny.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
From the days when you could, when you had to go farm your materials, and they, and like they, someone, you know, they ran in circles together for hours, just frolicking on the fields of Mars before they ever even actually spoke to each other. You know they're good at communication because, man, communicating with someone in this game without voice chat.
Right?
I know. I got to say, like, one of the coolest things for me over the course of the year has been seeing... There was one guy, I think it was about 2 or 3 months ago, posted on Reddit that said he was wanting to build a life-size replica of a sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's slowly been showing his updates. I'm really hoping he finishes it and can submit it for the year one art contest.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It looks awesome.
Now, I'm thinking that a jet ski would be the perfect thing for that.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Wouldn't it? Imagine running around on a lake like with the jet ski that's the tumbler.
You have lakes in California?
A few of them.
Little
barren right now.
So this is the Eye of the Gatelord, right? Right here, uh-huh. Where we fight the Eye of the Gatelord.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
This is really cool. Like this reminds me of just. I mean, look over here. The sky boxes in this game are just gorgeous.
Oh my God, they're incredible.
I've been slowly scoping in on them over the course.
Right here just gives just some random sky boxes and just. So gorgeous. And then if you look up, the water pools up on your visor, the rain water.
Yep. Sure does. Sure does.
Yes.
For High audio five. Listeners, we're currently trying to push Pope off of the ledge.
you know, Briar, there's something I just noticed. Like, I haven't gotten to see you in game since, like, Dark Below. Your Titan's gained some weight. He's looking a little chunky.
Well, oh my goodness, Brian. This armor is a lot bigger than it used to be, and
it's got more light level on it, so you know it's got to be bigger.
So
swole.
Taking a look at some of the stuff that's coming up. Obviously, this week we're recording this on Thursday, and normally the update comes out on Thursday, but this week it's coming out on Friday, so we don't have the weekly update to talk about. But we do have some other stuff that we wanted to get to. And just kind of thoughts about what the other thing that was part of the weekly or the Bungie Day, which was the moments of triumph,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And the new shader, is it a shader?
It's an emblem. Briar,
yeah, okay. Emblem, right? Yeah.
Briar wrote that down wrong.
Briar. Anyway,
oh,
so
sure. Blame the only guy who made notes.
Yep.
So are we, what do you guys think? I mean, the community, some people are kind of, I guess, a little disingenuous. I think you're always going to get that, but they're like, oh, we just got a, you know, I played this game for a year and all I got was this stupid player card, right?
And you also got some really fun experiences from playing this game, probably.
Yeah. Right.
You shouldn't really need something physical.
And a whole bunch of weapons and a whole bunch of armor.
Right. Now, do you guys? I personally think it looks cool.
It looks awesome.
I think
is it going to be animated? Really cool. I think I saw something somewhere that looked like it was animated.
I'm hoping that dial on there spins.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
It spins.
That's what the Bungie update or the server update.
The server update. Yeah,
animated.
adding animation.
It's a big animated. Emblems.
I think it's a really cool idea. It's cool to have like a physical representation, not physical, but in-game representation of I was there, I did that, I got it all done, I am legend.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's a cool thing. And I like the website implementation too, where you fill in the little bubbles, mm-hmm. You can see exactly what you're missing.
And the bubbles on the emblem, you know, kind of coincide with that as well.
Yeah, with what you achieved. Yeah.
It was funny, that was announced, I saw at least 5 YouTube videos, including my own. Kind of detailing that website, and not one of them had the gold chest one filled in.
Yeah.
I had that all filled in the first time.
Here's the problem. The problem that I had is that I've deleted so many characters that every time I realized that I didn't have golden chests don't go from character to character.
Nope.
So right. So I had all the bubbles filled in except for the golden chest, which I realized that I've deleted all of my characters in one way or another throughout since the game has come out. So what I had did? To go. I had to go find all the golden chests again. So that was my thing, and it's just, Briar, I've probably had about 10, 12 different guardians since the game's come out. Just I get them up to fully maxed, and then I'll delete them.
You just delete them?
Yeah. That makes me sad. There's so many lost guardians out there.
Yeah.
In search of a ghost who can save them.
Well, I get to the point of where
Russian traffic.
It's so crazy how easy it is to get exotic armor and stuff like that. So for me, a guy that plays a lot, once I reach a point where I feel like I'm not really, going for anything, I delete it. Now, the one thing I haven't been able to do is to get myself to delete my entire armory. So,
oh Jesus, that's wow. That's gonna take.
I'm not gonna do that.
That's intense, man.
I'm okay with deleting like characters with their gear, but not the armory. The weapons for me are too valuable.
Speaking of the armory,
they take a lot to earn. Also,
yeah,
a lot more than getting a character to level 20.
And as much as we kind of joke about it, how they say. What was it? I remember back in the early Vidox, you're like, man, if you get that exotic, you're going to have a story, tied to it. And a lot of it's just like, I bought it from Xur or something like that. But, we still have a lot of these stories tied with our exotics, like this Hawkmoon that I'm holding right here and shooting Pope Bear with. This was my first Hawkmoon, and I'd keep it away from my other Hawkmoons. I know which one is mine, even though I have two completely maxed out ones.
It doesn't get to play.
And you have a story that Tefty write from last night?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, about a certain exotic?
Yeah.
On stream?
Yeah.
I do.
Talk about it. I think it's really cool.
Sure, okay. Well, I started the PS4 account back in... Whoa, I'm actually in a box. I can't get out of this. I clipped into a box. I'm trying to come to you guys.
I'm gonna get some footage of this. Keep talking. You should be able to concentrate really well stuck inside your box.
I'm stuck in a box. So streaming on PS4, and I have the first time I got a Galahorn on the Xbox, it was 1400 hours into the game. So I was one of those people that did not have the RNG luck to be able to get the Galahorn that quick in the game, and it was the last exotic that I needed before House of Wolves came out. Yeah, you're gonna have a tough time clipping into there too. There's a wall. last week, it was the 3rd of July. I was streaming with Planet Destiny viewers, and there had been a donation train going on at the same time, which was really amazing. It was the first time I ever experienced anything like that on stream. So it was just incredible to see people showing support and creating this donation train. And basically, at the end of the donation train, right as we were killing Death Singers, I was thanking everybody and then turned to the side, and I didn't even see it when it popped up, but the Galahorn popped up and then the Grimoire popped up on the bottom, and I turned to the side and saw it, and I was like, oh my God.
And there's still a lot of people that don't have it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. Like the joke is, I would tell you a joke about the Galahorn, but half of you won't get it. This is the joke. This is the joke.
There you go.
Ting.
So that was incredible. It was one of those moments that that was beautiful. And a similar moment with getting the Galahorn on the Xbox happened because my buddy Cowboy Gruff, that was also his last exotic. And he, I think, had more hours in the game than I had, which is incredible. And when it happened, it dropped on Crota, on normal. And the other raid members were like, oh my God, Tefty, oh my God, it happened, you finally got it. And Cowboy was like, I'm ejecting the disc and breaking it right now.
Oh my God.
So angry.
And then RNG is just horrific, because it took me over 31 days played before I got my first Galahorn, right?
Yeah.
And then on the last charity live stream, I deleted my Warlock and had the Galahorn on it, so I didn't have a Galahorn anymore. And then the next day, within the next 3 days afterwards, I had 3 Galahorns drop for me.
God.
And so it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just so random. And
it is random. Yeah. It's completely random.
But I was
doing a Nightfall with a subscriber, and he came into the Nightfall and was just wrecking face. And I asked him, what gun are you using? It does the damage of like a light machine gun or a heavy machine gun, and it's got as much ammo. He's like, it's Atheon's Epilogue. I got it from the raid. I'm like, oh, I got to get one of those. Because it was a void week in the Nightfall. Just everything he looked at died immediately.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough, I guess you could say, to get that as my first drop from the Vault of Glass.
Oh, right.
Oh, that was your first drop?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
It served me well for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, before the auto rifle nerf, Atheon's Epilogue was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good for PvE. Crucible still, you know,
it has its moments. So we're talking about Armory, and we're talking about like the stuff that we have gotten in the game. One of the things has always been, how do you keep track of it all? Because there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, right?
And how do you... And I know I've personally been using the Destiny Item Manager, that Google add-on.
The Chrome app.
App that you could use. And I use it a lot. It's something that I use way more than any of the apps or website. But recently, they just released a new Armory piece. The website got a total redesign. Like, it's all different. And I was just interested in your guys' thoughts of how does that website look to you? And what do you think of like the Armory, specifically the Armory piece of it?
Like, I haven't gotten a huge chance to look at it. I messed around with it like the first day it was announced, and I was like, oh man, there goes all the work we put into our database.
Yeah, it's basically a database that we've seen before.
Yeah, it's on the official Bungie site now, so you know you can. It's all they're slowly starting to integrate all these community features that have been built into the Bungie website.
Yeah.
It's a really nice website, and I like how it's got like the listing for where you can find a weapon. Like, if you go and search for Atheon's Epilogue, for instance, it'll tell you exactly how to get it. And I like that. I like the 3D models that you can spin around.
Yep.
You know, it's a nice site, but it doesn't have those secondary stats that are kind of important.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That's kind of my feeling on it too. Like
the, aim assist numbers and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which, for me, that's the big one, aim assist. I always look at aim assist.
That's why I go to other websites. Yeah.
Well, here's the biggest difference for me. I think for the casual player, they're going to look at this, and they're going to see that, and they're going to see the attack level and rate level. And I think that the couple features that I don't see that makes the database at on Planet Destiny's much more useful is the compare feature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when I want to look at a gun, and I want to see the aim assist and some of the secondary stats like that, but I also want to compare it to either something I have that's known or two things that are possible.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think for the average player, that's not going to be getting into the min-maxing of stuff and just really focused on the data of it, something that's interesting is I like the filter portion where you can filter what perks, you know, you can bring up that list and find out specific perks that are filtered and stuff like that. But I still find that for some of the work that I want to do where I'm comparing things for either on stream or a community thing, I'm going to find that like the Destiny, Planet Destiny database is probably going to have a little bit more than this one.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bungie one's presented in a little bit nicer package, but then for actual data and stuff, the Planet Destiny one has a lot more information there, aside from where to get the weapons, usually.
Well, I visually I think it looks good. It's also something nice to see as an official list from Xur.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you look at it, there's 77 things that Xur sells.
Really?
Including the Galahorn.
The Galahorn.
He did
sell it at one point, so
yeah,
I'd be worried if they took it away.
Well,
there was that Mega Man leak that said it was not on the list of things he could sell,
and it's there.
Well, it's there in the Armory, but is it there?
Well, here's here's my question. Also on that list is Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Can it be?
Well, maybe that's like there from as a relic from the upgrade days when you used to have to upgrade stuff.
Mm. Oh, maybe.
That's interesting.
That
yeah.
could be too. Maybe, or it could be there as a placeholder for when it becomes available to everybody.
Yep, mm-hmm. that is true.
I think that's what's holding it back from being sold by Zerg.
So can I mention something that's on that list that's piqued my interest?
What, like Fate of All Fools?
No.
Vestian Dynasty? Please tell me that's on there.
Maybe this is from, I guess I'm just not recognizing it, and maybe it's just something from one of the bounties, but Pristine Golden Age Ammunition Module, is that part of it?
Yeah, that's from a bounty. That's okay. For the
that's from Super Good,
Super
Advice.
Good Advice bounty. Well, I think someone pointed out in the Planet Destiny staff chat the Pristine Shell. Oh, no, that was my friend, Laughing Cheerio from a lot of the early Planet Destiny videos. He pointed out that one of the ghost shells is in the database on the Bungie site.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Frontier Shell, I think. Or
is that the red one?
Oh, really?
One?
It's not the red one. Yeah, the Frontier Shell is the normal one. The like the black and yellow one, I believe, is on is in the database.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting. So there's definitely some stuff that is kind of like Easter eggs. Not Easter eggs, but if you hunt around, these databases are going to be showing us stuff that is going to be fun to look at. But
yeah,
it'd almost be interesting if the new column was percentage of times that it's been offered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Like
Homeland Beyond, 50%.
Yeah, at least 50% of the time. You know. Why not?
Statistical drop rates. 49%.
Yeah. Between the two of those, that's like at least 99% of the time.
By the way, I left the area of the Gate Lord. I'm gonna go somewhere else.
Back too.
Oh, okay.
Should we go to the vault?
I've
saved the vault for later.
Well, I think we'll save the vault for a little bit later in the podcast.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, I'll make my way to you guys. So how amazing are these quadrump boots?
Dude, holy these quadrump
smokes.
Boots are so,
jealous.
Are so much
Stop
fun.
Stop talking about them.
No, I mean, so I have a story to tell you guys about how I got mine. I got mine 2 days ago. I jumped on and I saw Miss 5000 Watts. She was doing, her and TK Bling were doing the Nightfall, just the two of them. And I sent her a message. I texted to her. I said, "Hey, I just jumped on and I need the Nightfall for my Hunter. Can I join you guys?" So she sent me a message. She sent me an invite. And it turns out that when I joined them, they were at the final boss fight. As a matter of fact, they had less than 1% left of damage on him, and I wasn't even fully like materialized as a character. I was just spawning in when they killed him. So I got all the rewards for fighting him, but I had zero kills, zero assists, zero deaths, yada yada yada. Well, if you know, Miss 5000 Watts is a huge hunter fan.
Yeah,
right. She plays as a hunter, and this is the only exotic she doesn't have, which is the Bones of Ao. So the quad jumps. And she's been trying to get them since they found out.
Since you could get them?
Yeah. And so literally the rewards came up and I got them. And she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. And so she starts freaking out about it, right? And I feel terrible at this point. You know, kind of terrible, but kind of excited too because I don't have them either. And so, so I got my Bones of Ao on the Nightfall thanks to Miss 5000 Watts.
At the cost of her joy.
Yes. And I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that's just like feels bad about it, but then there's another part that's like, yes.
Pope, I've got triple hunters on the Xbox.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm in the same
desire. Oh, you haven't gotten them yet. You haven't gotten them yet.
I haven't got them yet on either system.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Well, so, let me tell you, you are missing out.
I'm missing out. In PvE, an exploration mode of PvE, and just everywhere, mm-hmm. nothing is not reachable.
Yep.
Yeah. This is exactly how I imagine. No.
You're basically quad jumping everywhere. It's
I like,
just
I like going to Earth and then jumping around on all the light posts, just from light post to light post, because you can just do that.
I like the increased control on them too. If you select increased control and you get a triple jump, you can change direction very, very easily.
More importantly, you can go really fast.
You can fly.
That's awesome.
They're actually a pretty good exotic. Like, you know,
I'm pretty excited to get those.
Yep.
One of these days.
And I know better than the Peregrine Greaves.
Miss Watts is going to get them for sure. You know,
when Xur sells them.
Yeah.
Today or later in five hours.
And if it's anything like my history in the past, like I get things right before Xur sells them. So no worries, everybody. They'll be for sale by Xur.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if I picked them up from Xur. I just want them so I can have the extra parkour fun.
It is a blast.
I've been thinking about just like making a montage parody jump montage.
Mm-hmm. One of my early videos on my own personal channel was a parkour secrets in Vault of Glass, and getting to the topmost level, the absolute ceiling of the Templar area, and also getting all the way underneath the floor. Yeah. I made a video that was one of my early videos on my own channel, and I was doing that as a hunter, not using any of the other higher jumping classes.
Well, so I think some of the stuff that do you guys get the feeling like we've been experiencing lots of server maintenance requests, right? Like things have been popping in left and right. Do you think that some of this some of that's because of they're preparing for the Taken King? What do you think's going on with all that? I think that's something that came up on Twitter. People were asking me about it.
My hope is that they're fixing all the like disconnect errors that have been popping
up. That'd be great.
As of recent.
That'd be awesome.
'Cause that's what I really want to happen. And that's what I'm hoping that it's for. I think doing stuff for Taken King right now is probably a little bit too early, because then it opens it up for the dreaded data mining, which I'm sure they hate by now.
That's a good point.
But it's like, why would they have to take down a whole, like the whole array of servers? Like there's only a certain amount of problems. Either you need to update all that software simultaneously, right? Because you can't have two different versions of it.
Sure. Yeah.
Playing.
Could be hardware upgrades.
New hardware.
You could do that bit by bit though.
Dedicated servers? What?
Oh my god, don't do
private matches?
Wait, well, I mean think about it though. Like if they're doing that kind of maintenance, could we be seeing private matches?
Probably.
That could be. That'd be great.
We're never gonna get private matches.
Well, think about it though. Like if you're talking about dedicated servers, right? wouldn't that be the next logical step? Is that they would be setting up for custom matches or private lobbies or private servers like Battlefield does?
Not necessarily, because Halo had private matches and they were never private servers. They were never dedicated servers. Yeah,
that's
true. It was still peer to
peer. It's always peer to peer.
Even as private, yeah.
And that's going to be the future, I think, is hopefully peer-to-peer technology gets better and more reliable and less laggy, but I doubt we're ever going to see
it. I think it's not necessarily peer-to-peer technology. It's also like just the
internet in general.
The internet in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, we've seen games with much better lag than what we see in Destiny. I think the technology can be achieved in the game.
True.
Well, here's a comment. When you go from Trials of Osiris to Iron Banner, I think that transition, if you play like an hour or so on Trials of Osiris, and then you go and you play the laggy banner, I think that's when you start
Salty
to
banana.
Realize that's when you start to realize just the sheer difference between the two. The Trials of Osiris is extremely smooth.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Oh,
yeah, it's the only type
nice.
Of PvP that I like doing right now, because it's the only thing that's match made based on connection, which this game sorely, sorely needs.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. The matchmaking is based on connection, and you've got fewer stuff going on in the game. And I really feel like as soon as they get matchmaking to the point where, oh, there's a golden chest here.
Yeah, I was going to do it without saying
golden
yeah.
chest. I need this.
Bye, guys.
Ooh, heavy ammo. Sweet.
Just kidding. here, Patrick. So you could just, like, fall off a cliff and then decide to come back.
Yep. Or you can just do like, Yeah, you can get some pretty crazy jumps in there.
Patrick, I bet you can jump on top of this this fallen ship from.
I'm working on that right now. I need to get my super up.
Oh. Let's go. Which super? You're the Blade Dancer?
The Blade Dancer, of course.
Well, you can't get there on a triple jump.
I want to do it in style though.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try it with a triple jump.
You go try it with your stupid triple jump or quadruple jump. I'm gonna slice across the air, dance across it.
You're gonna dance. You would dance. Now, I think that that's something that I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward
dancing?
To.
Love
no, dancing. I'm talking about the back to emotes. The connection.
Oh yeah.
We have an issue in Iron Banner and in
Boy, do we ever.
It's just so it's so not fun.
No.
And I'm not really sure what it's.
Here's one of the big problems with it. Here's one of the big problems with the connection. It doesn't matter if you're in a team of six or if you're solo. If you get the benefit of the connection, and it's a small chance of getting the benefit because it's 1 out of 12 systems. If you get, for whatever reason, the lag benefit, it doesn't matter if you're in a team of six or you're solo. The match can be swayed heavily by the lag as opposed to just a little bit, which then it would be like, well, okay, so there's a laggy kill here and there. But instead, it feels like the whole matches just get drowned in lag, you know?
Well, it feels like you're walking through pea soup. Like, everything is super, like, it feels heavy or lethargic. Like, you're, when you go from Trials of Osiris to Iron Banner, it just feels like you're struggling with every move. Did you make it, Patrick?
He's doing it.
Yeah.
All right, here, I'm gonna try this the quadruple jump, see if it'll get you me there. I don't think it will, though.
That's no, gonna you're, gonna, you you're gonna drop like a brick. Bye, Pope. Bye.
Bye!
Yeah, Trials has definitely broken me on PvP, because I enjoy it so much, the connection. And then when I go to a regular Crucible, I'm just like, And actually, regular Crucible isn't as bad, but when Iron Banner came around this week, or last week, I couldn't believe it.
I'm going to be completely honest here. I only played about 6 or 7 matches of Iron Banner this past time, and I did it on, like, Monday night with Watts and TK Bling after we ran Trials, because I'm just not interested in anything Iron Banner has to offer. I mean, like, It used to be the draw was to get weapons that you could reforge. Okay, that's cool. But now you can reforge any weapon. Yeah. So you're not running it for that.
Often.
I know this complaint is not really a legitimate one because I'm in part of the few percentage of players that have this problem. But right now, looking at my inventory, I got 48 Etheric Light. I don't need to buy it, much less spend 5,000 Glimmer on it. Yeah. And none of the weapon, or I already have all the weapons I want from it. So, why would I go participate in a version of the Crucible that's literally the worst possible version because of lag?
The armor looks really cool. I think
I like it.
And every character looks beautiful, but it never compares stat wise or perks wise to the Exile gear. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah,
some of it
gear
seems
is
geared
definitely
for
better.
PvE.
Now, like if they suddenly made it so that the gear from Iron Banner could be reforged,
that'd be something.
Then we would be talking. I would participate in that to be part of the beta test. You know,
even then though, it'd have to have 3 perks like some of the Exile stuff.
True,
has.
True.
And perks doesn't cut it.
I know some people are playing it just to get the increased XP. You know, and if you are turning in bounties. And to get that extra XP from Iron Banner, you might want to type in RLT7RF33, and it might just help you out.
Oh, but, get some more XP from one of them Red Bulls?
I don't know. It might just happen.
MLG tips right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at... we're looking at what's going on with the game, and one of the questions that came to me on Twitter and to us is, is our current armor and weapons going to be totally obsolete with the release of the Taken King? So picture it now. We've already talked about some of the problems with Vault of Glass armor and weapons kind of dominating the space now that they can be rerolled and it could also be ascended, right? Not rerolled, I'm sorry, but ascended. So they're the higher damage level. Do you think that Destiny should make what we currently have? This, I think we've had this conversation before, and I'm pretty sure Patrick is going to bring some references here. But so should vanilla Destiny, right, be left behind after where we are right now? And should the Taken King represent a new armor base? And what is that going to look like? What do you guys think?
Well, like what we saw at E3, we saw the light level affecting armor differently. It also affected weapons and stuff. Like, personally, just as a blanket statement, Bungie needs to rip the Band-Aid off and just be like, okay, look, exotics from this point forward, sure, they'll be able to advance, but legendaries and armor, not going to happen. They need to, they just make that apparent now if that's going to be their choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree also at this point. I know we had talked about this in the podcast a few months ago. I was like, I don't know, I kind of want my Fatebringer to go forward past September, but at this point, I agree completely.
Yeah.
I think that the raid weapons and the new stuff that's going to come, so are the old raid weapons need to go get retired, and the new raid weapons need to come in so we can have a fresh experience with it and have a fresh Vanguard, have a fresh, you know, I don't want to have to rely on my longbow in the fall.
As much as I love this LDR, you know? I don't want to have to, I don't want this to be the only sniper rifle I ever use.
What if they added element types
to primaries?
New elements?
Yeah.
Like new slag? Elements. Ooh.
Ooh. You know, like, what? It's, you know, whatever, grass. There's a new grass element type, but with green shields are taken out by grass. You know, in that way.
Grass?
This ain't Pokemon, Brian.
They can design a whole new raid, or a whole, like a whole new species or a whole new whatever that has this new element type.
Wait a second.
Your Vision
Taken
of Confluence or your Fatebringer is not going to be doing that same kind of damage. You want that new grass type element.
Wait, so let's take it away from the term grass, because I think people aren't going to be able to connect to that. So what it takes...
Take like
I think a lot of people can.
You know.
So let's say the Taken King, right? We're going to see new enemies that have been taken, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this new enemy type, what if they had new different kinds of shields?
Yeah, like ghost shielding or something, you know, and there was a new element for ghosts that specifically takes on that type of shield. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, right? Maybe Destiny 2 will get new types of elements. I don't see it happening. But it'd be cool, and it'd be a way to make new weapons, like, super valuable.
That's true, yeah.
Even if it didn't have Outlaw and Firefly.
Right.
But Outlaw and Firefly, we all know, will rule supreme until there's a new stat that bests it.
Well, it does in arc damage, Nightfalls, right? And it does it if you don't have to worry about elemental damage at all. But as soon as you're in a Void Nightfall or a Solar Nightfall, you don't worry that, you know?
True.
So that's a way of refreshing what's
excluding
valuable.
Nightfalls, though. Excluding Nightfalls with... Actually, I'm just really talking about Fatebringer kind of breaking the mold a little too early in its usefulness. The fact that they put Outlaw and Firefly on a hand cannon broke us forever on hand cannon usefulness, because that is just the old... Like, when you kill a Thrall and it explodes everywhere. So if in the Taken King we can't one-shot enemies like Thralls with a Fatebringer, then it's going to get retired. But if we can still one-shot Thrall enemy types... or those type of lower level armor enemies in the Taken King, then that weapon's going to continue forward.
Absolutely.
But I agree, if they did add another element for another usefulness, the problem is everything's built around threes in this game, and there's three elements.
Mm-hmm.
If they added a fourth element...
That's why I don't really see it happening now, but it'd be a way for them to move forward with Destiny 2, or, you know, it'd be a way for them to add more types of weapons after you've got all three primary, you know, all three... elementals down already. You know, right now I don't need an elemental weapon. I go open that chest at Mercury and I am looking for such specific stuff.
Bones of
Ale. Almost impossible for me to get it. You know, like right now the only weapon I really want out of that chest is a solar jewel.
Oh, you mean like the solar jewel that I got last week that I took from you that I have equipped right now?
Yeah, like that one.
Patrick.
You guys should come over this way.
I got a solo jewel on the Xbox and the PS4. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, man. I'm sitting here. Oh, that shank really, down I mean, there, it just died.
I'm definitely salty about it, and I'll give you that. But really, it's like that's kind of the problem I'm in right now, is that I have so many amazing weapons that what could they possibly give me that I'm really going to want, unless they, A, raise the attack level significantly, like Hefty was saying, where a Fatebringer just doesn't get the job done anymore.
Yep, yep.
And you can't reforge anything. It to get, or you can't ascend it to get that stuff anymore.
Yep.
Or, like, change the dynamic where those old elemental types just aren't relevant anymore.
Yep.
Well, you know what they could do also? And this is just game design brainstorming right now, but so it's likely never going to happen. But what could happen is they had a level 2 solar or a level 2 void, level 2 arc, where it's arc damage, but it's like these higher tier arc damage weapons do a type of damage that you just can't get from the older tier arc weapons, you know?
Like double arc.
Double arc, you know. I don't know, like
arc times two extreme.
Like what I was thinking of, aside
like I said, it's a game design brainstorm that just is going nowhere with it. But yeah,
there's a public event going on over here. But something I definitely like to see right now, elemental weapons. There's so few of them, I guess, right now. Something that I really liked seeing was, with Trials of Osiris, that there's these adept weapons that came in, how it's becoming more available. I personally want to see the game saturated with different primary weapons. I think that's one of the things that Borderlands got right, is that you know you could it was easy to find that setup for elemental stuff, but chasing the weapon perks that was the hard thing. And I think that would be a lot better than you having to go chase these specific drops in instances to get the one and only, you know, scout rifle that has solar damage on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. So what you're saying is you'd find them more in the world?
I mean, just make everything. Like, make everything have an elemental damage on it. Not necessarily...
how do you make raid weapons special at that point? Just have like the best perks reserved for those ones?
Well, I think they're already accomplishing that, Briar. The raid weapons have damage that's specific to the boss or whatever you're doing within it.
Yeah, I mean it's.
But isn't that what you're saying, Patrick? Is it all weapons? You want all primaries to be able to do that?
I'd want all. No, not all primaries to be able to do that, but all primaries have
the saturation level.
Yeah, have elemental damage. As far as the perks and stuff, that's where the weapons can really become unique and useful. And
so all weapons would have elemental damage, but only the raid weapons would have really good perks on them?
Not the really good perks, but
perks
specific for PvE. That'll be really good in PvE as opposed to PvP. Start making a bit of a separation there. I'd really like to see Crucible weapons or weapons from Crucible vendors have really good Crucible perks, have really good perks that you would want for PvP.
I think we're seeing that now. I mean,
we are starting to see that.
If you compete in the Crucible, you get the Matador. If you compete in Strikes, you get Dry Rot, right?
Yeah. They're
totally different weapons. They're both really good for what they do.
Dry Rot?
Dry
Rot's a lot of... Dry Rot's essentially the fourth horseman, a legendary version.
Is it?
Yeah.
It has high fire rate.
It's a high fire... I'm actually rolling it right now to get a full auto... Field choke. It's just going to be a beautiful shotgun when I get the perks that I want.
Yeah, but I mean that's what they're doing. That's what I feel they're doing is that. But to put elemental damage on the primaries, that's just one more thing you're taking away. I guess Trials of Osiris kind of does that, right? Is that you can get any of their primaries with any of the elemental damages, as far as I know,
and Skullus too,
except for a jewel with solar. If your name is Briar Rabbit.
Yeah. just this solar hand cannon right here. Briar, where are you? Why are you running away from me, Briar?
No, I won't look. I won't look.
I'm shooting you with it, Briar. I'm shooting you with it.
No, it's a vision of confluence. I can
it looks just like solar damage. Jewel of Osiris, Briar.
Yeah.
So weird.
But I think that would be one thing I'd really like to see as far as weapon design goes. Another thing is make armor reforgeable, but that's another topic of discussion for another time, really. I think, okay.
So here's the thing. They have to draw a line somewhere and distinguish top tier stuff from rerollable stuff. Mm-hmm. And I do agree that it would be interesting to have more of a saturation of these different type of weapons. So you didn't just stick with this one arc weapon, and Vision of Confluence wasn't the only scout rifle that was worth using for solar damage. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we have the Scholar now and Wolf's Leash that you can get rarely if you actually want to do skulls.
Yeah.
So I do agree with that. What they have to do in a game design perspective is figure out a way to get these other type of perks that are desirable but not completely game breaking.
I think they have a solution to that right now. Look at the triple tap perk. Let me find this hand cannon. Okay, so this hand cannon that I have on right now has triple tap. Rapidly landing precision hits will return one round of the magazine, and that's on any rollable weapon, pretty much, right. Like any single shot weapon for the most part. But then you have Black Hammer, a raid weapon, where landing three precision shots will refill the magazine. So you could basically take perks that are already useful and just kind of amplify them like that, but make their tailored uses for PvP or PvE, depending on where you get them.
Right. Well, and I agree. Like, Fatebringer is an example also. Yeah. Like, you can only get Outlaw and Firefly from Fatebringer. The problem
is... treasure under this woman's dress, by the way.
That's what I was just pointing at.
What? There's treasure there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's under her skirt. Yeah. How amazingly appropriate. Okay. I just... Wait, don't look up, though, whatever you do. That's just...
I looked up. It's on video.
Oh, man, Brian.
The thing, though, is that there's separation of top-tier stuff versus rollable stuff isn't quite... finessed yet.
Yeah, true.
You know, and that's why people go and reroll stuff specifically for PvP, and the only thing that can best it right now is exotic hand cannons.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, like, the exotic hand cannons can best it, but aside from that, you don't want anything else. So that's their problem that they have to figure out how to fix or find a solution about, you know, and I think they can. I believe in it, and I would like to see that as well, because that's one of the things about Borderlands that's really entertaining is having just an onslaught of loot that you can then just filter through and decide what you want to keep and use this for a while and move on, you know. And then obviously there's god tier legendaries that you can get in that game, which is technically exotics.
The problem is PvP. It's like, you can make these guns awesome, like the exotic hand cannons, but if you've got so much variety, then something's going to stand out for PvP, right? Something's going to be overpowered. Right.
Well, for the longest time, they've been trying to do this where the perks are the same in PvE and PvP, and they've started breaking down, realizing, okay, shotguns need to do way more damage in PvE, and they're getting to the point where they're learning how to separate these two things. And I think they just have to do that even further. Be like, this is how that perk works in PvE, this is how it works in PvP.
Yeah. Or just say, I think they could just specify, this damage has greater range against Minions of the Darkness. You know, just like,
yeah,
just put it right in the description so it doesn't work in PvP.
That would be another good... Oh, there's a thing right here for us to kill.
Let's get it.
I'm still hesitant about making some perks behave differently in PvP and PvE. I'm okay with, like, the weapon's damage being different in PvP and PvE the way shotguns are currently. Mm-hmm. But making perks behave differently, I think that would be kind of a weird thing for people to have to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, well, like, Final Round, I think it would work fine, right? It's like,
Final Round is one of the big examples of that.
Snipers.
Yeah.
But you just got to specify it's not going to... It only works against Minions of the Darkness.
True.
Mm-hmm.
You could even do it with Thorn.
Hey, guys. I'm going to take off here. This ship is... is leaving without me. Oh,
wait. No. but yeah, like that is another really good idea, is to make them have more separation between PvP and PvE with the perks as well. And I think it would just they would have to be very delicate about it.
Definitely
to make sure people know that they would have different they would behave differently as well, because that. It would really suck for, you know, someone to use a weapon. They're like, why isn't this doing what I want it to do in
I wouldn't want it to feel different. Like, I wouldn't want the fire rate to change.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You know, the recoil like pattern to change.
Well, the name, I think you're right, the solution is simple. The name that like, that you suggested, the name is different. Like, you get this perk fighting Minions of the Darkness. You get this perk fighting Guardians, you know?
Yeah.
And in essence, I think that if you had a vendor like the gunsmith, that you could choose to, you know, when you reroll that gun, you can choose to reroll it for PvE or PvP. I mean, just a thought, right? Hey, I found a legendary engram, guys, right here.
Oh, nice. Hey. That's what I did with
you found a token of flight.
My God. How is that a legendary engram? Oh, my God.
Okay. And
if you guys want that chest, by the way, it's over here.
If you're not close enough, it drops as an engram, which is kind of annoying. I agree. The distinction on that, having the two. Like my I have two benevolences, and I rolled one specifically for PvE because I wanted surplus, and then another one I rolled for ammo regeneration.
Mm-hmm. And like surplus is, if I can just go off on a small tangent here, surplus is probably my favorite perk in the whole game. it makes PvE so easy because ammo drops are just a non-issue now. I can pick up,
it's just unbelievable.
I can pick up two heavy ammo crates and I'm completely full. I can pick up two special ammo crates and I'm completely full. And it's,
people ask all the time on stream, they're like, why are you a hunter and getting four rockets per heavy? And I'm like, surplus on my sniper.
And it doesn't matter. You could have your whatever gun is, if as long as one of your guns has it, then
it's incredible. It's broken me now, so I have to have whatever sniper has surplus now equipped almost all the time, unless I absolutely need a shotgun at that time.
Yeah, same. That's why I use my LDR so often. It's because it has surplus on it.
Yeah, but in PvP, it only gives you two extra bullets at the start of the match.
Yeah, it's not that huge of a thing, but you know, it's good enough for me right now.
Yeah,
having Field Scout is a much bigger boon to me.
Yep, Field Scout double down.
Mm-hmm. I think we should start heading into the Vault of Glass, guys.
Let's go. All right. Let's go to the Vault of Glass.
Yeah,
you know, it's interesting though, thinking about how they're going to take the weapons forward into year two. These are definitely considered year one weapons right now.
Yeah, they made a special distinction about that.
Yep, and they said, here you go, everything is on the table now for year one. You have everything right now. So when the Taken King comes out, it's going to be a new era, and we're going to be in year two, and I would not be surprised if a lot or majority or some of these weapons get completely retired.
Oh, yeah. I want it to happen, and I don't want it to happen at the same time.
Yeah, it's like saying goodbye to a friend.
Yeah, like I love my Hawkmoon so much. I love my LDR, but at the same time, I'm okay with meeting some new friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't want to use these weapons for rest of Destiny. Even the exotics, like eventually, they got to get left behind, right?
Yeah.
Either that, or they got to make something that's better than the Galahorn, but.
How are they gonna do that?
Like, it's already overpowered.
I think it's gonna be kind of like a Magic the Gathering thing where there was they made this new card type called Planeswalkers, and they really, really messed up by making this one Planeswalker so powerful that like it completely warped all formats forever. So like he's always been Jace the Mind Sculptor has always been like that power level of cards where we should probably not, are you guys gonna, oh, you guys glitched into the Vault of Glass. I've been sitting here holding a sink plate like some idiot.
Not at all, man. I don't know
what you're talking about, this glitch thing. I've never heard of the word.
I've never heard of the word either.
Listen, if you don't glitch into here, then you actually have to do the encounter when you get in here. You don't want that.
Yeah, the power level of exotics is something that we should definitely be weary of. Going forward as well. It's so hard to like balance them, to make them feel exotic
right
at the same time and make them truly, you know, be exotic weapons that you would want to use, that would feel like it would be worth using that one exotic weapon slot or that one exotic armor. They've been doing a really good job with the armor, I think, for the most except for Titans have gotten the short end of the stick for a really long time on armor. But Warlocks and Hunters have been getting some really good armor choices. I mean, if they could spread the love to Titans, I think They'd be at least set on armor.
Can we take the back? Oh, can we take the back way?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also. also the they actually screwed up on one piece of armor.
What?
That would be the ram.
true.
Oh
true.
Yeah.
Fitting that it's on a warlock
for the Titans. I don't even know where you guys are going. I've never gone this.
You never gone this way?
You never gone this way, Briar? Oh man, this is.
Hi.
You're in for a treat.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
It's like a whole.
I'm really
whole
excited for
area.
their new take on like kind of manufacturers' weapons.
Definitely.
You know, like speaking of Borderlands, that's something Borderlands had mm-hmm. it, where like each mm-hmm. each manufacturer now is going to have Jacobs. Like kind of an identity.
Yeah. Yep. And, dude, when you rocked like, so, Jacob's manufacturer weapons from Borderlands, you felt like a boss. You're like, I got a Jacob's shotgun, I got a Jacob's pistol, I got a legendary sniper from Jacob's. It was just awesome.
Yep. It's all about the Jacob's guns.
So, yeah, so I'm super excited. Like, what else does Suros have in store for us? What else? Hockey, H-A-K-K-E, we've seen on the Titan helmet in screen pics.
Mm-hmm.
For the, like, I'm excited to see what that kind
the
of
the Hake auto rifle felt really good when I got to use it at E3. Yeah. It had a really satisfying, punchy sound to it.
I can't wait to have, like, a full set of, like, you know, all Suros. Like, that new Suros pulse rifle looks amazing. That new Suros, it's a rocket launcher.
Oh, they,
launcher, rocket
they put
launcher,
me over
right?
here. Yeah, they put a rocket launcher.
Yep. Suros rocket launcher, Suros pulse rifle. And they all looked like Suros.
Right, and they have that unique look to them.
And
hopefully they kind
of... I talk about it too much, but like the sounds of them are all very unique. You could tell that I was getting fired on by a Suros. You could tell that the Hake auto rifle was around the corner because it was making sounding like it was punching holes and things.
That's cool. And then, you know, hopefully that extends to exotics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because right now...
Armor, we've definitely seen armor with the Hake name on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. sorry, I coughed while saying
about it.
And that did not come out right.
So, Tefty, this is your... We're playing Follow the Leader with you, right? This is your...
get to some spots? All right, well, come on up here first.
Oh, wait, I dropped all the way down. I thought you said underneath.
Oh, yeah, we can go there, too. Do you know how to get back up to the top from over there?
I've got quad jump, so yes.
Okay, perfect. See, I had to do it with just higher jump as a hunter.
No, I died.
Yeah, as soon as we get down there, I'll show you how to get underneath the floor.
Okay.
Another thing I'm kind of hoping we're going to see is some new factions and new factions to ships for and get shaders for. And I wonder if the old stuff is going to get left behind. Like if you didn't get the Fermi solution, is it going to be gone forever? Like are just the people who grinded for rep with Dead Orbit and got that Fermi solution, are they going to be the only ones who have it for kind of like the rest of Destiny?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Or you think it's too early for that? It takes a lot of rep, you know. It takes a lot of time to.
It what the of rep. The bad thing is that it's RNG. So someone, one of my friends, just got the new Monarchy ship at level 92.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah,
92. Wow. How the hell did he get that high? Does he do
amazing.
Every bounty every day?
Every as much as he could, he did everything.
Wow. And he got it at 92. That's rough.
Oh my gosh, 92.
But still,
good Lord.
I mean. Like, what if they just swapped all that stuff over? So now, instead of the Fermi solution, there's a new Dead Orbit ship.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's too early for that. Maybe we got to wait for Destiny 2 for that to happen. Give us another year to get that rep.
I can't get over there without quad jump.
You know, sometimes grinding can be a real chore. Oh, and spending time...
All the time.
Yeah, well, spending time, you know, getting all that XP is difficult. T33K... 3KMM might be able to help you out.
Yeah, and
those codes don't help with rep, though, right?
No, but they do get you XP, and you can rank your guys up.
Something like that does help you out a lot is YXR DD7 4T3, because that'll get you a blacksmith shader. And
wow, that's
yeah,
interesting.
And And that won't really help you out a ton, but you'll be stylish.
You'll make it look good.
It'll help you attract the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, ooh.
And I apologize for everybody who might enter that code expecting to get it, since I don't have a blacksmith shader.
Do you need a blacksmith shader, Tefty? Because I have
I do.
One extra.
Yeah. I'll
give you my other extra one.
Oh, we'll you guys.
I got you.
I got you covered. Tefty.
Thank you.
My question is, Do you guys think that there's actually another chest somewhere here in the Vault of Glass?
I don't think there is, but I think there will be.
You think there will be?
Yeah, because here's the reason why I think that. I think that they're going back and they're reimagining the Taken, you know, these areas with the Taken. And I think that they made it part of the video doc for a reason.
That'd be awesome.
I have a feeling that, you know, there's a reason why he'll never tell. Because we're going to get one. And I bet you money that they go back and they take a look at these raids and then they add a little something to them because there's so much discoverable space in here it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is one of the coolest parts about writing the Vault of Glass is there's just all these other areas that you can jump to. And it's like someone had to build this.
Yeah.
Someone spent time on this and they're not going to use it.
It's something you incredible. Don't see in Crota's End, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like if you get
I know, right?
If you get a little outside of where you're supposed to be, it's like there's just nothing there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
It'll be interesting, though, if they have Taken King stuff reimagined in the Vault of Glass.
Yeah, in the Vault of Glass. Like, maybe they can incorporate we know the Vex will probably be taken, because I think they mentioned every single race
is taken at some everything. Point. So. Oryx is just greedy.
He's a non-discriminating Taken person. He'll take
it. Do you think there'll be Guardians?
Ooh, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
What if, like, the Vex and erasing people from time was actually Oryx ripping them into other dimensions, and then
What if all of Oryx is actually discarded Guardians
no.
are now Taken?
No!
Oh, no!
I will take great pleasure in doming each and every one of them.
The power is too real.
My first Titan was OP. No, I don't want to fight him.
So since you deleted so many characters, you can keep going on. You can keep going. Right,
I just have to explain this real quick. You have to drop down and then jump underneath. So follow me and then jump. And then you're
underneath easy.
The floor.
Oh,
right here?
With the bones of Ao. I mean, jeez.
Right here, or did I go too far down?
I might have gone too far down, actually.
You might have gone too far down.
Let me see. Oh, no. Briar's got it. You go all the way down. Yep, this is it.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah, so you can jump around. You can see where the spawn boxes are for all the enemies.
What's underneath here?
And the kill box is pretty low. Like, you can get all the way underneath the stuff and run around.
Huh.
Yeah,
this makes for fascinating radio, but I'm just exploring.
Yeah, I know. I randomly
discovered this when I was looking for secrets.
Yeah.
Back in October. I just fell down and I ended up jumping. I was like, oh my god, I'm underneath the floor.
There's gonna be, like, all the chests.
My secrets.
They're in the walls.
And then there was nothing.
Yeah. Well, this is what's fun about this is just exploring getting around and going into places that you hadn't been before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Thanks, Tefty, for showing this to us. It's pretty
cool. No problem, guys. No problem. The only problem is you can't get out of it. So
die, come back up top.
Sometimes if you stay down here for too long, you spawn down here. We can try though.
So What else do we got to talk about? What else has the community been interested in that we're looking for? We got the Taken King coming out. We've got some changes to the way that we spawn into the game, like the way that we access the game, the information, right? So the Taken King's going to give us different light levels and things like that. Is there anything else that's come out about the Taken King that we want to
nothing,
spend more time on?
Nothing concrete. There's been plenty of people like trying to guess at what that artifact slot is for. There's a lot of people kind of... I'm probably going to die. Nope, I lived. There's been a lot of people like wondering if we're going to be able to like our current cosmetic items, our current class marks and stuff like that, are we going to be able to use those if there's going to have stats on them? Because I'm going to be one salty individual if I cannot use my Dead Zone Revolution cloak with stats on it. Hmm. Or maybe we can just buy new versions of it. I'm okay with that too.
Why would it get upgraded?
I don't know. I mean, there's going to be stats on the gear.
Right.
I think all the new...
You're going to have to get new stuff.
But I don't
the new
want,
stuff is going to have the stats.
That's one of the things that I don't want to have a new cosmetic item. I'm perfectly fine with my beautiful Dead Zone Revolution cloak.
Listen, you're going to have to retire your Fatebringer. Nope. You're going to have to retire your cloak.
I will retire my Fatebringer. I will... Okay, okay, WoW reference. WoW reference. Hour and 19.
Here it is. WoW reference of the week.
Yeah,
WoW reference of the week.
This Thursday, watch Patrick Casey make WoW references in the Planet Destiny podcast. Anyway, there was a weapon called Thunder Fury. It was like one of the few legendary...
Thunder Fury.
Yeah, Thunder Fury. And I finally got it on my Rogue. And it was a weapon from vanilla WoW. And this was in Mists of Pandaria, the second to most recent expansion. If you were using that weapon, it was like just wielding a rotten fish in your hand. It did essentially nothing.
Hmm. Interesting.
But I wielded it because it looked cool. So if it comes down to it and I can't use this awesome cloak for stats, I'm just going to use it because it looks awesome, but I'm going to be mad about it.
Depends on what the stats are, too, right? If it's just XP that you're going to get from these
things. Oh, yeah. If it's just XP, then whatever.
Who cares,
I don't
really
care.
You're going to... Yeah. You might use it at first to level up your character to level 30 if that's the new cap.
Nope. Not taking it off.
Or you might not. You know?
Not taking it off, ever.
But if it's like a stat like increased jump height,
You're toying with my emotions here, Briar, by suggesting that.
You just said you'd never take it off, but then he said
increased reload speed with Hawkmoon, for instance.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah. Prox,
never say
Prox
never.
Holding aces more often.
Well, my what? God. every Hawkmoon round is holding aces.
Makes your Thorn dot tripled.
They could be worth it. They could not be. It could be worth it for a short period of time. And then you just go back to your old favorites.
That is
true. I really like the old Dead Orbit scarf looking things, you know? I'm the hunter. Instead of like the long, the new cloak is just looks like a rag hanging off of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if the new Dead Orbit one gives me more rep faster, guess which I'm going to be using? I'm not going to care about the cosmetics.
Oh, I 100% care about cosmetics because cosmetics are not featured very well in this game, so... I need to look stylish.
Yeah, but if I'm getting a tangible benefit from something that looks ugly, I'm going to drive that Volvo.
Tangible benefit.
I like to think Volvos are rather nice-looking cars, Briar.
Tangible benefits.
So yeah, I'm hoping that if they choose to do the thing with class items giving other benefits, that it's something... like XP, because that's not really going to matter overall, because I think we saw them have increased XP on like hand cannons and auto rifles, stuff like that, so leveling up would be great to use one of those, but
I'd like to see more rep. Is you can get a class item that doubles the amount of rep or gives you a 50% boost to rep when you turn in bounties, you know, because we think we're going to get new vendors, right, or new factions. Or at least one new faction?
Anything like that is just us speculating at this point. We don't know.
But if we did, you know, like people would want to be able to rank that up. Plus, a lot of people haven't fully, well, most people, I would say, haven't fully ranked up the old factions. And, you know, it'd be nice to be able to get, like, all that stuff. And if you got a 50% boost, it'd be a lot easier to do.
True. Yeah, the old fact or the current factions, I just have them all ranked up to 3 because I don't even use them. I'm a Vanguard rep for life person.
Vanguard rep.
Yep.
I want the pneumonicry ship. I want it pretty bad, actually.
I got one dead orbit shader, and I was like, okay, I'm done with this. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this kind of weird special edition of the podcast. We tried to do something a little bit different. If you guys like it, we'll try to maybe continue doing it like this. I don't know. I know you guys like some of you guys really like watching the PvP stuff that we put in there, but it's getting tiring getting all that good footage and editing it. So this might be another really cool solution. Maybe we can make it a little bit more interactive. Maybe even start streaming it, which I think people mm-hmm. would definitely like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think cool. I think it would be a lot of fun. And then we could also interact with the chat when we're mm-hmm. recording it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Have more take relevant
questions. Maybe
have more relevant questions.
I think we talked about this before, but I think that having a once a month, 1 week a month, be a special edition live.
Yeah. I think we could all swing
that's
that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't have to use webcams or anything either, because I quite like sitting here not having to wear pants because I don't have a webcam on.
The pamp is like from the tits up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Okay. Anyway, if you guys want to talk to me, you can find me on Twitter at Holtzman_PD, or you can email at askholtzman@gmail.com. And if you have footage to submit for that mentoring thing I'm doing, feel free to email it to me, that same email. I've already gotten, I think, like 45 video submissions thus far for that series.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at The Briar Rabbit on Twitter or on the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube or on Planet Destiny.
This has been Tefty Teft with Planet Destiny and my own channel, Tefty Teft Games. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. And also catch my streams that are usually at 9 p.m. Pacific time on the Planet Destiny Twitch channel.
And this has been Pope Bear. You can talk to me at Pope Bear on Twitter, or you can find me on Planet Destiny's stream channel at, or it's, what is it? Twitch. This is extremely distracting. Twitch.
You guys line up and wave goodbye to me at least.
/planet_destiny. Oh my goodness. A bunch of ADD people here.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. No, no. Wait, everyone sit there and wave goodbye. Everyone sit and wave goodbye. Yeah, wave.
Wave.
There okay, you go. Fine. All right. Good job, everyone. All right, we'll see you guys later.